So this morning, we're going to do something different. We're going to do what a lot of people are doing already this morning. They're watching TV. They got church on TV with a remote. Well, we're not giving you a remote, but this morning, we're going to watch a little bit of TV, all right? A few months back, we premiered one episode. It was around Valentine's Day. We premiered one episode of Tribal Trails. Tribal Trails is a TV ministry of Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. The reason we had that showing here midweek was because of the guests that were featured on that episode of Tribal Trails were Dwayne and Lovejoy Flamon, and they were interviewed here in the prayer room in our church, and it was aired. But we knew that they had spent all day here with Dwayne and Lovejoy, and somehow they condensed it to 28 minutes. But we didn't know was that they had a second episode waiting for us. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to watch that, because I know not everybody has time or availability to watch it either online or on TV. So what we're going to do this morning is feature the testimony. Now, this is something that maybe we've heard before. Live, but this is good because many of us will not have. And what this is primarily Dwayne being interviewed and sharing his life story. And so it's very appropriate that we're going to show that this morning, and then I'm going to have Dwayne come up at the end of it for just a few minutes. So sit back, pretend you have a remote and a cup of coffee, and enjoy this episode of Tribal Trails, which is called "Where Are You, God?" And then we'll wrap it up after that. So there's a part in there where Amazing Grace is sung. So you might as well join in. All right, it'll be easy to follow. Okay.
Tribal Trails, the Son of God. Chose to walk with us these tribal trails. Tribal trails.
My heart and reason why I want to share this is because I know there's a lot of young people like my age, like in my community, like we were just there, and like there's guys that I went to school with that are dead, you know.
More than a few,
you know, like murdered, and you know. So if my story could be as real as it can be.
Hello and welcome to Tribal Trails. That was Dwayne Flamont from Roblin, Manitoba. He and his wife Lovejoy were guests previously on Tribal Trails. In that program, they shared about their relationship with each other and God. Today, Dwayne will tell us about the times before he met Lovejoy when he was a young man going through some real hardships. As he said, he would like to tell his story so that it would be a help and encouragement to young people who may be facing similar issues. God did a great work in his life, and I know he can in you too. Dwayne grew up in Pine Creek First Nations in Comperville, Manitoba. He begins his story there when he was still a youth in school.
I remember one day I was sitting in class, and this young girl just sat and overlooked at me and said, "You know what, Dwayne, you're going to be stuck in this town forever. You're not going to go anywhere, and you're not going to see anything." And I remember sitting there, and I believed her. Like, I believed everything she said to me, and life went on. I remember like seeing drugs and alcohol like were a common thing at home. Like it was just, you know, we'd go to the drug dealers for my mom. You know, it was just jump on your bike and ride and come home. And it was just, you know, I saw it made my mom happy, you know, so it made me happy, you know. And when as I got older and learned what it was actually doing, I thought to myself, I don't want anything to do with drugs and alcohol. You know, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to drink. And And as I got into my teen years, like I remember I had a lot of questions of why my dad isn't in my life. Like, why is my mom addicted to drugs? Why was I abused as a boy? You know, why was I bullied? You know, and I began to cry out to God. I cried out to God. I remember I'd go walking on the lake, you know, where no one could hear me. And I'd scream out, God, where are you? You know, if you're real, show yourself to me. Prove that you're real to me. And like nothing would happen. You know, there would be no big voice from heaven. You know, and I think I was expecting something to happen and nothing ever happened. And I do that, you know, throughout my teenage life, early teens. And then some new guys came to our community and they pressured me into smoking weed. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, I don't need to do that. Like, I see that every day. I touch that. It's in my home. You know, doesn't appeal to me. You know, but eventually he got me to come around. And I remember when I first smoked, I found drugs was a really good way to help me forget about my childhood and the bullying and the abuse at home. Like, but also in my younger years, like I had an uncle, his name was Jack Flamond, and he would take me to these tent meetings, and he'd take me like all over the place with him, traveling to these meetings. He'd play guitar. He wasn't a very good singer, you know, but he'd sing this song, Amazing Grace. He'd always sing this song. You know, and I remember just going with him in these meetings and hearing him talk and hearing him sing the song over and over. And like, I remember as a young boy, he'd come over to our house. And I remember one specific time I went running up to him and I just saw this like glow on his face. And he just had this love in his eyes. Like, it just looked like, you know, and I remember I was taken back by that. You know, I was like, wow, something weird is happening. You know, but it was God, you know, in his life and stuff. And yeah, so as I got into more harder drugs and stuff, like my family disowned me. Like, I would go from house to house, cousin to cousin, you know, and I'd steal from them, you know, to get high, to get a fix and stuff. And got to the point where everybody shut me out. Like, my friends that I would hang out with and get high with, like, they just totally pushed me aside. And my mom pushed me out, and I had nowhere to go. And I was living in the bush. You know, I was sleeping in abandoned cars and abandoned houses. Like, I was just really low and hungry. Like, I wouldn't eat because I had nowhere to go, you know, and around this time it was kind of fall time, and I remember I was just all alone, and these people in our community saw that I had nowhere to go, and so at this point, my uncle Jack passed away, and so where he lived, the house was empty, and these people offered for me to go stay in his house, and so I went, stayed in his house, and I remember I was all alone. Like, this house didn't have no plumbing or no heat, you know, I'd be chopping wood trying to stay warm and stuff, And I remember one night I was lying there in my Uncle Jack's house, and my mom gave me this Bible, you know, and I remember I had this Bible still, and I remember I just opened it up and I started reading it, and I remember this song started playing in my head, Amazing Grace. These words, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And And I remember sitting there looking out the window, and I thought to myself, if I don't leave this town, like, I'm gonna die, you know, I'm gonna die, you know. And I remember it was beginning of November, and it hadn't really snowed much that year, but on that day it started to snow. And I remember looking out the window, and I thought, I gotta go, you know. And I grabbed the few clothes I had, you know, I didn't have winter boots or winter nothing, winterized, and I started walking down the road. And I remember I had uncles here and stuff. I remember there was one uncle in specific, he was a wino alcoholic. So I thought, you know, that's my only option, is to go there. And
so that's in Roblin?
That was in Roblin, yeah. So I started hitchhiking in November, big snowstorm, and I remember as I was hitchhiking, like, the cars wouldn't even see me. So I just gave up sticking out my thumb and just kept walking. As I walked, like, I just felt so lost. Like, I just felt so lost and alone. But these words kept going in my head. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace
ended up in Roblin. You know, there's a few cars that stopped, and one guy stopped, he's yelling at me, he's like, what's the matter with you, don't you know it's snowing, someone could run you over. And he said, something told me to turn around and pick you up. And he's all mad that something told him to turn around and pick me up, and he took me all the way to Roblin. And and I knew where my uncle lived, so I showed up at my uncle's house, and he was passed out. So I just went and slept on the bed. And it was a couple months before he realized that I was even there, you know. And I lived there, and again, I felt so lost and alone. Like, his house was just a party house. Like, people were coming in, going. I wasn't the only one living there, right? There was other people living there. But yeah, this song kept playing in my head, and I began to read the Bible more and read it more and more. And it was about a year living in Roblin. I got a job throwing garbage on the garbage truck. And I was living at my uncle's place, and I tried to quit smoking and tried to quit drinking and tried to quit the weed and stuff. And
How were you surviving before that?
Before the job, I would just be, yeah, like my uncle, he would spend all his money on wine, and I just, there was no food there ever, so I just eat what I could, and then someone told me there was a food bank in Roblin, so I'd go to the food bank. And when I first came to Roblin, there was it was around Christmas time, and I remember I was lying on the bed, and someone came knocking on the door, and they said, "Here, this is for you." And it was a Christmas hamper, like the community gives out hampers, and there was like ice cream in there, and chocolate, and turkey, and there was potatoes, and I ate good that night. Yeah, and I don't know, it just seemed weird that people would care, you know, to come and give me food, and it was just barely scraping by. I was still, in Roblin, I was still breaking into houses to steal food and steal money, and I one night I broke into the liquor mart. I barely got in, and this RCMP officer followed the trail of blood to where I was, and she told me she cared for me. She told me she wanted to see me succeed, you know, and I remember thinking, you should be throwing me in jail, not telling me all this stuff. And there was other people in the community that said they saw potential in me, you know, they said,
yeah, so yeah, these people would tell me that, and it was hard to believe them, you know. It's hard that they saw something in me.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
How did you land up in this church?
So I got a job on the garbage truck, and someone invited me. They were having a youth night in town, and someone invited me to come, and I remember I walked in the door, and there was all these young people, you know, they were jamming out on guitars and playing drums and saying Jesus' name, Jesus, you know, all hardcore and stuff. And I remember I walked into the church, and I was like, man, I want what those guys have. You know, I want to say Jesus' name like that, and I want to, you know, have what they got. They're excited about God, you know. Because I always thought God was someone that was very far away, you know, very distant and only looking down with judgment, you know, and condemnation and stuff. And here these young people are so passionate about Him in their hearts and stuff. And anyways, there's speaker got up and spoke about Jesus dying on a cross and how He suffered and bled for me and my sins and stuff. And He made an altar call, and He said, if anyone wants to receive God, you know, come to the front. And I remember I was at the front, and I knelt down. Everyone was kneeling down, and I knelt down. And again, I felt like God was like way up there.
you know, and I felt like he wanted to come into my heart, you know, and I remember quietly I was like, yes, God, you know, yes, God. And he still felt like he was up there, and I remember I kept getting louder and louder, yes, God, yes, God. And by the end, I was like screaming at the top of my lungs, you know, yes, God, come into my life, you know, God. And anyways, then the people came over, the minister came over, and I thought they were going to kick me out or whatever, right? This native-looking guy had big curly hair, you know, just rough-looking. And they came over and they prayed for me. And the one young guy, he looked at me and he said, you know what? God has a plan for your life, you know. He said, God, he's like, I see you being a preacher. You know, I see you telling your story. And like that brought hope, you know, to me. And slowly might quit drinking. And
how old were you then?
I was 19, yeah.
So how did you quit?
I asked God, I said, God, if you could help me quit for 1 week, like you'll help me the next week and the next week. And I remember the first time I said that to God, like the next day someone was like, here, let's have a drink, you know, and I was like, okay. And I'd drink and then I'd realize, you know, I'd be doing it again. And then the next week it'd be right after Sunday, I'd be like, okay, God, if you help me this week, you'll help me the rest of the weeks. And it'd be 2 or 3, 4 days, someone would be like, here, smoke this, you know, let's get high. And I'd get high, and then, you know, and it would go on for a few months. And finally it was, I remember the first week, I was like, all right, God, you're going to help me, you know. And I remember, yeah, and I never went back. There'd be opportunity to do it again, but it would be so much easier to say, okay, well, I got to make it through the week. I got to get to church sober, you know, and it happened. And, you know, I'm 34 now and I haven't gone back.
So when you said make it to church, so you're like coming to church?
Yeah, regularly, yeah.
So how did you find the church?
It was good. Like, it was a little bit hard because I'm Métis, right? I grew up in a Métis community, so, you know, like, the culture is a bit different, right? Like, there was, like, a lot of white people, you know? There's me and another guy that are Métis in the church, but there are other people that, you know, like that young guy that said God had a plan for my life, he mentored me and stuff, and they took me to Mexico, you know. I had a criminal record and somehow made it to Mexico and back. And we built houses for some poor people there. And that was my first construction experience. And I thought I came from a hard, poor place, but in Mexico, like, there was, you know, it was like a shed looked so appealing, you know, to those people. A couple from the church gave me, to go on that trip, $500 American. Like, and I remember looking at the cash. I've never held that much cash. I was 22 years old. And they said, here, God wants me to bless you. And I remember looking at that money thinking, wow, you know. You know, a few months ago I was, you know, passed out in a ditch somewhere. And then here I am, you know, building houses for God, for these poor people, you know. And
so did that kind of change your life?
It did, yeah. Like, I saw a need, you know, that you can do something so simple, like build a shed for a family, and it changes their life, you know. And the church continued to bless me. Like, people would give me opportunity to share my story, you know, and they'd tell me, you know, like, you're
You have so much more potential than just throwing garbage, you know.
In a way, how did that help you?
Yeah, like again, it goes back to where people said they believed in me. Right? They saw something in me, you know. So a predominantly white community, white church, you know. For them to say, here's an Aboriginal guy, we see God doing something in his life, you know, let's help him, let's mentor him, let's show him how to be a leader, you know. And that was what they told me. Their heart was for them to see me succeed, right? And
I guess one of the things is, do you feel the love of God?
It's like when you know that someone loves you, you know, and yet it's tough when you haven't experienced love in the right way. It's still, you keep your distance, you know. But God pours down opportunity, he pours down finances, he pours down reconciliation with my family, you know, and I see that, you know, I see that God's, his hand is always towards me, to bless me, to love me. It's just me, you know. Sometimes I put the brakes on, or I choose to go the other way, you know. But I know it. I can't run away from God, you know. I know.
So what would you say to somebody that is struggling like the way you are struggling? That is yelling at God, saying, where are you?
If God were to give me everything I wanted in that moment, like, I wouldn't have been ready. You know, if God were to give me, say, God said, okay, Dwayne, in that moment when I was out on the lake crying out to God, okay, here's everything I'm going to give you. And he dumped it all on me. Like, I would have ruined it. I would have ruined my marriage with Lovejoy. I would have ruined my relationship with my kids. But I think over time, you know, God slowly gave me what I needed.
Do you have a favorite verse that you like to share?
I mean, I think the one that makes the most sense is, for God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think for me it's true because, like, I feel like my life was nothing and now it's become so much more, that the everlasting life actually starts today. You know, it's not when I die that I get everlasting life. Like, I feel like my life is so full, and that I'm living that everlasting life story. You know, I feel like that God loves me so much, you know, that he'd pick me out of a bad situation and give me more than I could ever imagine and think.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Dwayne. Praise God for what he's done in your life. Perhaps you are a young person going through some of the same struggles as Dwayne, or maybe you know someone who is. Even if your life experiences have been different from Dwayne's, maybe you have pondered the same question as he did. All through his youth, Dwayne asked, "Where are you, God?" That question was answered when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Did you notice that Dwayne's problems just didn't all disappear when he became a Christian? The Bible never promises that. However, as we seek to build our relationship with God and allow him to work in our lives, we will see changes just as Dwayne did. In fact, God's word has many promises for us when we trust, love, and obey him. Let me give you just one example. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Dwayne can confirm that this is indeed true. If you have questions about God and His Word, please contact us. Thank you for watching, and God bless.
So, did Dwayne stick around to the end? So, we got a TV star in the house. Let's welcome him up. But let's do it this way, okay? On the video, in that interview, how old did Dwayne say he was? 34. How old do you think Dwayne is today? Today he turns 35. Man, happy birthday, Dwayne. Come on up. So we didn't rehearse anything, didn't plan anything here, so I think I'll just, is it safe to just give you the mic? I'll give it to Lovejoy. How's that?
Yeah, so this is fun. Good. Yeah, so I mean, I didn't know they were doing another video there. And I just asked Randy, it was Friday or Saturday. I was like, hey, there's this video, you know, feel like we should show it. And yeah, and it was, and you know, it's my birthday, and you know, it's kind of feeling down. Oh, poor me, I'm getting old. But like in that video, it talks about God having this huge plan for my life, you know, like being a preacher and sharing my story and stuff. And like I was 19 and I'm 35 now, right? And I sometimes forget, you know, I think, well, maybe God's forgot about me. You know, maybe God's distant again, you know, and all of a sudden you get this thing in the mail, your story is going to be, you know, in so many different First Nations communities and stuff. And, you know, the world and our community, and even in Roblin, like, people are struggling so much with addiction and you know, and I do this, I share my story because, in a way, I want to remind God that He got me into this, you know. So he has to see it through to the end, you know. And I think, you know, like, it takes a church to raise a leader, you know, and I'm proof of that. You know, it's been tough. You know, love is a messy thing, you know. Like, I know in my family, like, we just about kill each other one day, and then we love each other the next, right? And, you know, and I'm glad to call a bunch of white people my family. But yeah, that's, you know, again, and I share my story because I want God to, you know that I'm still here and I'm still fighting, you know, and yeah, I don't know if Lovejoy has anything to say.
Just when I saw that video, just surprised me, how encouraged me, how, well, every time I hear him tell his testimony about how he came to the front and he cried out to God to come to him, just how we need that. Like, even this weekend, it just encouraged me because I was feeling far from God, and it's just like, oh yeah, I can just cry, come to me. And then I realized that in doing that, I need to humble myself, and He can come into my situation. And yeah, and another thing I'm watching that is just the Amazing Grace song. The part near the end is just, grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will take me home.
So you're free to go if you have to go, but if you're able to just join us in praying. Let me just tell you this, that story of Dwayne's that's going out this weekend is going to touch lives. I'm amazed at the timing. That I didn't know it was Dwayne's birthday till this morning. I didn't know until yesterday that this video was out there. Didn't get to watch it till last night. But this week we got a call from a First Nation in our province, not far from here, Wayway-Sikapo, asking us if we could send someone who could preach in their little church there on Wayway-Sikapo First Nation. And Dwayne has already shared his story there, but who do you think came to mind first of all, right? Dwayne, that's right. And so God hasn't forgotten. And so we're not putting any pressure on Dwayne that he has to start doing that next Sunday or anything like that, but we are believing that God is not, that what he has begun, he will bring it to pass.